I am Doug Friedman.
And I am Meredith Levy.
And this is Your Mental Breakdown,
the podcast.
The podcast, indeed.
We're getting so good at that.
We are.
Those are like the 10 words that we have.
The only thing we have scripted. We are licensed psychotherapists and we are your hosts. You will hear me in session with my client, Drew, and we'll break it down for you. And hopefully you can apply this stuff to your life because that's what it's all about.
Oh, by the way, we just passed the 10-month mark of like lockdown. It was March 13th. Well, at least here in LA.
Which I believe was a Friday the 13th, right?
I believe you're right. And I know it's like ebbed and flowed a little bit in terms of what lockdown is, but not really.
Yeah.
I haven't been to my office, let's say that, at least in 10 months.
Oh, man. Neither. Well, I've been there, but not to see clients. And I did one day there where I was doing my virtual sessions from my office. And I had a couple of clients like see me in there and go, is that the office? Like, yeah. They go, oh.
I know. Oh, my God. I really miss it.
For the most part, my clients right now are not, they don't care about getting back into the office. They're like, I like not driving. I like not having to be anywhere except right here. And for the most part, I don't know if you guys are feeling this or Mayor, if you're feeling this too, but a lot of people saying, I think I'm out of practice. Like, I don't know how to relate to the world anymore. Like I mean, just driving somewhere, like somebody was on the freeway and was like, oh my God, I didn't like all these cars whizzing by and some were going slow and some were doing like, I just, it was nice not having to drive for a while. Like I kind of want to go back to that.
I think I filled my gas tank up 3 times in 10 months, maybe.
Wow.
Literally. Yep.
You know the band The Flaming Lips? Of course, yes. You know The Flaming Lips.
Yes, yes.
They did a Coachella years ago where they were in these like bubbles and they did the performance in bubbles. And one of them, I think, went out and like crowd surfed and they like tossed the bubble around. And it was fun and funny. I think they were working on like some movie where they had the idea for it. I don't know the story. Maybe you guys do. But it has circled back because people are going, this could be the future of live music.
Right.
Like where the band is in bubbles or where the audience is in bubbles or everybody's in a bubble. I don't know.
That is genius.
Right. And now I'm thinking like, man, I would love my car to be in a bubble. Like, don't be anywhere near me. Like, give me space. Just let me be.
Oh my God.
Back off. Did you learn that as like a little kid in like early on preschool? Like the teacher would hold their hands in front of them and like make like a hug thing, go, this is your bubble. This is your personal space. So that kids wouldn't just invade your personal space all the time and you teach them the bubble.
Maybe we just wear the like sumo wrestler outfits.
Totally. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah. It's better than walking around in hazmat suits.
Yeah. I feel like, well, I was going to say, I feel like those are really hot, but they're probably both really hot. Oh, guess what? Guess what, you guys? I got my first vaccine shot. Vaccine or vaccination?
You got the vaccine. You got your vaccination.
Yes. And felt really weird. My arm hurt for a couple of days, for sure. I was so tired after.
Really?
Oh my God, so tired. Knocked me out. But that was it, really.
Did they keep you there like when you got it, like to observe you for like 15 minutes or whatever
it was? Yeah, you stay for, I mean, you literally can walk away if you want, but I was not going to walk away. I was like, there is a distinct chance something could go wrong with this. I was like, what do I feel? This is weird. I feel weird. Am I tingly? Something happening? So far, so good.
Did they say some of the other side effects? Like I can see your mustache growing pretty heavily. Is that that'll go away, right?
No, that's not from that.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God.
A little off schedule with the bleaching. Oh man. It's so nice not to be a woman sometimes.
Oh, you have no idea what we go through. If guys only knew, man.
Yeah. Well, I say this. We have to shave our faces. We have to put a razor to our faces every day. I mean, not me, because I keep the stubble.
But that must be rough. That's your one thing, huh? Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I will say the best revenge that I've heard for some of my guy friends or clients that actually feel that way sometimes. I don't. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
They will have a daughter. Like, there you go.
good luck with that. Yeah.
And I think then they start to have all the guys that I know that I'm talking about are wonderful fathers and will be, you know, wonderful fathers to their daughters going through a lot of these things and stuffs that we didn't have to think about. And they will be so attentive and it's wonderful.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. I think that's why you have a niece and a nephew.
Oh.
So you can spend lots of time. You were just with them a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah, I'm always with them. I love them. And I had the dogs. I love them.
Oh, really? Oh, nice. You had a full house.
No, never at my house.
Speaking of full house, I guess we could do that. We got a shorter one this week, a shorter session for you guys. Because speaking of full house, he was talking about a lot about his friends and his circle of friends and
right.
letting people in and not people in and you know, just relationships and where that is. So we cut a lot of him talking specifically about certain friends and certain things. We had right. to cut that out. So not the full length session that you might be used to.
Yeah. And it's great anyway, short and sweet. It's not that short, but you know,
no. I think we'll just cut right to it and give them the session and come back on and break it down. So stick around. We'll be with you in a little bit.
We'll be right back.
How you been?
Good. Same old, same old. I feel like I'm in the exact same spot as I was last week.
That's why.
Yeah.
Staying at home, sleeping in, like, yeah. Oh, I need to be active.
Yeah. And it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day, just on like a weather pattern. You know, I'm so much more active in the summer, which I can't wait for it to get hot again.
Right.
I think that's why I hate the cold so much, because I just want to sleep and not do anything. And I think this is when I get like the most lonely, because I don't want to do anything. And I feel like right now, especially, I'm looking for other people to put forth the effort.
Sure.
Instead of myself always doing it, which has been good and bad. Friend, gonna be gone all of February, traveling and working this thing. And when he initially told me that, I was like, oh, fuck, what am I gonna do for the whole month? That's my boy. That's who I kick it with. That's like my group. I was playing my what is for February. So that was going back to like my brother's bachelor party all the way back then, where I would just.
I didn't go back even further when my old girlfriend was going out of the country or out of town.
Right.
Right. It was like, oh, shit, I guess I'm just going to smoke weed and watch TV all weekend until she's back.
Yeah. And now I'm kind of like, OK, well, what am I going to do while he's gone? Instead of like, oh, I'm just not going to do anything for February.
While he's gone is still reinforcing. When he's here, I know who I am. When my friend's looking in on me, checking in on me, when I'm connected, I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
When he's gone, what do? I just need to kill time until he's back.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing about just relation and people right now in my life, I was at church last night and I went with my homeboy, which was really nice. I haven't gone to church with somebody in a while.
Oh, nice.
And so it was nice to have somebody that I knew there with me.
Yeah.
And we were talking and he was like, why do you sit alone? And I really thought about it like right then and there. And I was like, well, I know I need to get out of the house and I know I need to be around people again. I'm just not ready to converse with people. Into our conversation of where do I meet people? Where do I go? What do I do?
Yeah.
I think this is like more so me. I know I need to be around people. I'm just not ready to talk, like fully dive into a relationship. It's funny. He's very, you got to earn his trust. And so I'm learning that from him right now of like, okay, I trust people instantly and then wait for a reason not to.
Right.
And I think I need to kind of get in the middle of that, not go all the way over where I don't trust anybody, fuck off, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I'm trying to bring that more in the middle. And so to kind of bring that back into church, it's like, I like being in community and having people around me, but still being by myself.
Yeah. You just going, I need to get out of the house and I want people around me so I don't feel so lonely.
Yeah.
But I still like my solitude of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Being alone and being lonely are two different things.
Yeah.
And I think you're kind of going after that. Let me not feel lonely, but I still want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to seek out anybody and chat with them. I think if they chatted with you, you'd be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd put up that wall and that big fuck you across your forehead, right?
Right.
Even though kind of saying like, well, historically I've let people in and then I get burned.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It's a spectrum. We just kind of find where we are on that.
I think you're looking at overall, how do I want to be?
Right.
But there's a tone to you now that's okay, that sounds actually a little depressed,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not like you're in a depression, a depressive episode, and this is what it's like. But yeah, I'm feeling kind of down. I'm feeling a little blue. Just, yeah, I want to be left alone, but I don't want to be alone and feel lonely.
I don't think I'm in like a state of depression, but right. I'm definitely depressed just overall right now.
Right.
It's a factor of everything that's been going on over the last couple of months. And now kind of getting over it, it's allowing me to kind of take a step back like I've been trying to the last couple of months. And I really think that I'm realizing what's reality right now, which to a degree is good and to a degree is bad. And I'm,
so?
I think the good is regaining my self-confidence, finding it for the first time more so than anything, finding out what I want to do and how I want to do it, been really nice. And then the more not so good, maybe not even bad, just not so good is really like picking and choosing like who I want in my life and why I want them in my life.
What's the not so good about that?
I think growing up, the more people I had in my life, I felt more comfortable. And the more people that I had loving on me, I felt much better about it. Uh-huh. And I feel like I had a full community behind me.
Right.
But now I'm more so realizing that my community is getting a lot smaller. It's a lot more meaningful, like a lot more meaningful.
Quality, not quantity.
Right. Took a psychology class when I was in high school. And like, granted, I was in and out, didn't really do school. And so like, right. I kind of paid attention. But in one of the classes he was teaching was like it's like a Venn diagram or even like a target of bigger circles of your friend groups.
Totally.
And how your like your mental state can only handle one best friend.
Right.
Like you give everything to, and then you have like the like second group of like really good friends, and then the other people that you know, but you don't necessarily like converse with all the time.
Totally.
And so that's how I've always kind of looked at it, of having my one best friend as a friend. And then I got like that other circle. And I think my second circle right now is more so where I'm struggling. Because I have a lot of third circle, but that second circle and third circle, I'm kind of blending together. And I'm trying to find the difference in the two.
Yeah.
Which has been the good and the bad. It's just showed me a lot.
Yeah. And that's look, there are people, and Facebook's great for that. Because God, I even remember, I think it was T-Mobile or one of like phone companies. I was like, who's your friend?
Top five.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. And it's looking at, okay, who do I call all the time? Who do I talk to?
Yeah.
My family. Sure. But it's who's that first ring? Facebook is one of the outer rings of like, you can have 1,000 people on your Facebook.
Right.
Like, okay, they're just people that know what's going on and they'll like, oh, way to go. And that feels good. There's nothing wrong with that, but it can't replace those inner rings.
Right.
Right. Which is what you're looking at. But there's something to the level of being heard, being seen, being vulnerable that you have with me, you have with friend.
Right.
And now you're looking at, well, who else do I have it with? Right. I mean, I would say friend, probably fairly close, but not that. I mean, you're not talking to them the way you talk to friend.
Right. And we haven't shared experiences together, like me and friend.
Exactly.
And they are like the forefront of that second circle.
Right.
But now I'm trying to fill the rest. And I'm not trying to fill it with like 100 people, but it's like I need a couple more.
Sure.
I don't want to get stuck in all my eggs in one basket. And I think that's the other thing I do too, is like when old girlfriend came into my life, I really separated myself from everybody else. I found her as my new number one.
Exactly.
And then I was like, oh, I don't need anything else. And I really didn't. And so now I almost feel like I'm starting my adult life completely over again. I've fully immerse myself into like job and career. And now that I don't have that, and now I don't have the relationships I've wanted,
right.
I'm kind of at a spot where it's not that I don't have anything, because I've got a lot going for me, but it's one of those things where it's like, I don't have the things that are most important to me right now. And I think that's where I'm struggling. The depression comes in and the rabbit holes, like the thinking comes in that more than anything else.
Which is what thought?
Like if you were to say, hey, write a top 10 list of your best friends, I'd have like a couple. And to me, having like a good family, a good support system in my community is the most important. I think I said that day one in here, like what I wanted. And like, it's always been what I wanted.
That's why you wanted a relationship with your brother.
Right.
Because he's talking about shared experience, right?
Right.
You but don't necessarily have that much in common now.
Yeah.
Who are my people?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want just one person or two or three. I want my people. Who are my people? Right. And a lot of the relationships that we make and we build on are my people, where I can be comfortable. And that will go from the rabbit hole to kind of dovetail to where I think your greatest strength is, that I'm sure you recognize, you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's you.
Yeah.
And something that from day one when I met you mm-hmm. was very clear. You talked about your vulnerability and we talked about authenticity. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't care who I meet, if they're celebrities, if they're this or that, I'm me.
Right.
And now I think it's okay, who are other people that are being authentic that I feel like that gravitational pull towards? Because mm-hmm. I know mine mm-hmm. and people will be drawn to that. But who else do I want around me?
Yeah. And I think it's kind of overwhelming right now, trying to find what's most important. Because I think a lot of things are really important, especially in this world, like everything's important. And so I'm trying to whittle it down to like what's my most important and trying to see what that looks like too. And mm-hmm. trying to like blend all of that into one. Cause like, I like going out and I like being around people, but I like being studious and going to museums by myself and all that shit. And so it's a really weird, I want to say conundrum of where I'm at as a person. Cause it's like, I can be perfect for half these people and half these people, but I haven't found the people that are both of those yet.
I can be perfect. What does that mean?
My perfect scenario for myself would be somebody that's blended with both of my sides in the quiet and in the loud. Cause I like busy. I like 24/7. I like go, go, go.
Yeah.
But I also like resting and being by myself and getting downtime and doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so I haven't thought of a way to be able to go find what that looks like.
Cause I think it's first and foremost being it. Mm-hmm. I have this speed and this speed. Mm-hmm. Am I looking for people that have both speeds too? Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah.
There's a few different speeds in there. And I think what we often look for is, where can I see that in others so that I have that companionship mm-hmm. all in one? Mm-hmm.
And I think too, now that I say it out loud, mm-hmm. I'm still trying to figure out what I am completely. Because I do have those two gears and I'm trying to see what 1 through 6 are. And I found 2 and 3. Like that's where I'm comfortable and I'm good.
Right.
And now I'm trying to get 1 slower. And then maybe a couple in the faster.
And a neutral and a reverse and a park.
Right.
Those are all gears, man.
Right, right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's, look, these are facets of you. And recognizing what feels good for you, mm-hmm. even with a spouse, they're not going to be everything. Right. But if they recognize these gears in you and go, you haven't been in reverse for a while. Maybe you should go to church to hit reverse for a while because you haven't been in that gear. You're smiling. I see it in your eyes.
It sounds nice. That sounds gangster.
Yeah. And look, maybe you need a gangster chick, yeah. but the reality, and I saw your eyes light up like, mm-hmm. oh, that sounds good. That sounds nice. Cause that person doesn't have to have reverse, mm-hmm. but if they know you do, they can look out for that.
Right. And that sounds great on paper. Mm-hmm. I've never found that. I haven't found that yet.
There you go. Oh, nice switch. Why'd you just switch that?
Cause I'm still young. I got plenty of time for all that.
Yeah.
And again, like I'm not looking for a spouse or like my new best friend. I think I'm just in a position now where I want to be comfortable in going out again and not feeling I have to be there. I have to have a certain persona or certain walls up or whatever right. that looks like. I'm starting to, but it's not the people that I envisioned it with, which is another weird flip because it's not necessarily who I thought it would be.
Sure.
But they're kind of playing that role in my life right now.
What I'm saying about strengthening yourself in this is sort of what you're talking about. You're mm-hmm. going, all right, I don't need a spouse right now. I recognize mm-hmm. maybe now that I don't need somebody to be all of that.
Right.
I got a friend. That's my ride or die. He's my guy.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that second and third, those rings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Think of it like gears. All right. Where can I throw it into reverse? Because reverse is important to me.
Yeah.
Where can I find that? And where is that? And that takes some trial and error.
Right.
Because some people, you know, in fifth gear might work for that and they're not capable of reverse, so they don't really have a neutral. I have these gears. I want to use them.
Yeah.
And I haven't been using them. So who's around me? And one thing we can do, I don't think you are doing it, mm-hmm. we can get pissed mm-hmm. because what's around me, oh man, how come they don't have this gear that I need? I'm not getting what I need from these people.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I get mad about it. I do get self-frustrated though, on more so of like, not on what am I doing wrong? It's just, how do I shift this a little bit to get it right? I think we talked about this last week or a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I'm going through days and all of a sudden it's nighttime and it's time to go to sleep and then it's time to wake up. And I'm just kind of like going, not really accomplishing certain things in my life. And going back to the dishwashing thing, I'm trying to do that now, not just for my dishes, but in like my day-to-day shit.
Right.
And it's frustrating because I just haven't been able to. I don't know if it's like a self-motivation thing or if it's a timing thing of I just need to take a break or what that looks like. But it's very frustrating to go through weeks and not accomplish anything.
We did talk about this a couple weeks ago because I threw this back at you. One of the first things you said was, if I'm living the life the way I want to live it, then days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years. And it's cool. Right. I don't mind it going by.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're like, fuck, this day turned into night. And my guess is because I didn't live today the way I want to.
Mm-hmm.
A function of that can be because I didn't connect with anybody that's doing the things I want to do. And I'm having trouble starting myself. I'm self-motivating can be hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking at others to join with them to get a little jumpstart.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that around. I need to expand a little more and lean into some people and see what gears they have because my gears aren't very well lubed right now.
Yeah.
I'm not using them.
I almost feel like I'm kind of rusty.
Exactly.
I'm kind of jamming up a little bit.
Totally. And, and that's where like, okay, well, wait. What gear do I want right now? And let's recognize that, like, right, this is one that's getting rusty. What gears am I not using? What feels rusty? And can I go get that somewhere? How do we do that?
Yeah, and I think first and foremost is the conversations. I think I talked about that last week too, of being really hard just to have a full conversation with somebody.
That gear of job and career.
Mm-hmm.
Having a good conversation with somebody was cool. And it's like whoever said it to you, like having relationships is important
to
people, not just, oh, did I get this gig? Mm-hmm. You can always make a buck.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always make a friend.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's exactly where I'm at right now. I've been trying to make a buck for the last 2-3 years. And now I'm like, oh shit, I didn't make any relationships.
Right.
And so now it's like, okay, reverse, go back a little bit, see what's going on. Why is it happening? And then let's go do it.
Yeah. And that's, who are my people? Not your ride or die.
Yeah.
You know, you got some of those.
Right.
But who do I feel comfortable around? Who can I have conversations around? It's who do I want to invite in to me?
Yeah.
There are 100 people we could throw a rock at right now that would be in your third, maybe even second circle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're not just going to bring anybody in there. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think the other thing I've realized in myself too is like, I have such a broad range of who I consider a friend. I don't have this is my streetwear group and that's my people and this is what I do. It ranges all the way from like my gaming to fashion to school to museums to business to tech to...
Right, those are the different gears. That's fine.
You know, and so I'm trying, I think the confusion part for me is why can't all those groups come in to one and be my group? And I think that's my frustration right now because it's like, I know that's not possible because the guy that's in tech isn't going to like fashion more times than I mean, sometimes it happens, but it usually doesn't.
Right.
It's like, I would rather just everybody hang out together, but I know that people aren't necessarily like that all the time. And so it's just frustrating because it's like, I got to pick and choose who I want to be day to day.
Yeah. And that is tough because you wear different hats. And can you find it all in one? It's possible. We just got to make sure you have time for you and don't get overwhelmed and don't get spread too thin.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm pretty thin right now, just across the board on everything.
There's something about your group finding that and getting that is harder because there isn't just an event.
Yeah. And I feel like I never give one of them my full.
Totally.
They always get like a piece of it.
Totally.
Which is not who I am.
Right. I'm fully present when I'm there and I give you everything.
Yeah.
But if you only can cover a piece, that doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the jack of all trades, master of none. Like, okay, I can be this for so many different groups, but that's tiring. And that's partly where, and I see it even on your face right now as we're talking about, like
Yeah. And I think that also ties into me finding my identity too. Cause like I've been split my entire life and now it's like, well, which one am I? And I don't know. I think I'm a mix of everything, which is who I really am. But who is that to other people? I don't know.
Love that you just said it that way, especially because you said "but" at the beginning of it, right? I'm a mix of all these things.
Yeah.
And I need to think of who I am for all these people. Okay, pause. Because historically for you, mm-hmm. Oh, you're smiling. Where am I going?
I think somewhere along the lines of historically, everybody, I don't want to say leaves, because that I feel like I haven't been able to give myself fully to anybody yet, uh-huh. which has not allowed me to be fully vulnerable to anybody yet uh-huh. in like a complete capacity. It's always been bits and pieces,
yeah.
which I've gotten a taste of, you know, and I know that's who I really want to be. I just haven't been able to experience it from like a full ground up experience yet.
Right.
And so the distraction is when one group gets kind of, I can jump ship and go somewhere else.
Exactly.
Instead of sitting there and be like, okay, let's figure this shit out.
Here's a fun thing we can play with. That historic part of you, absolutely right. And that's something that we're going to learn to incorporate in terms of, I'll go back to the gears. If you're like, great, I've got this gear over here and that gear over there. Can I use both gears on the same track? Mm. Don't hate me for this, but I can't fucking stand NASCAR.
Right? The one gear.
Like one of the biggest spectator sports around. Like, yeah, make a right turn, jackass.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like,
oh, shit. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, sorry.
Yeah.
But it's one gear.
Right.
Right. And you're like, well, wait a second. Can I turn right on this track? Can I shift it into a different gear? Mm-hmm. And because we're so well defined with one thing in one place, we never test the bounds and we never try it out. And we never, I shouldn't say never, but I will anyway. We never really allow ourselves to be our complete selves.
Yeah.
And I think you might be surprised if you allow yourself to be yourself with some people that haven't seen those gears. Mm-hmm. Again, you might be surprised at how people would respond if you shift. I think that's going to do something for you mm-hmm. in terms of you acknowledging you have different gears.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised if you show them you have different gears. They do too.
Yeah.
Not all of them want to use all of their gears.
Right.
You'll see those quickly.
Yeah.
You'll see doors shut for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
But you are incredibly versatile. You have so much depth to you, so much vulnerability. And strength and drive. And yeah, some depression, some lack of motivation, some loneliness, all of that. That's right. That's flavor, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what makes me right now.
Totally.
Yeah.
And we are back.
We sure are. And here we are. Sorry. We are. So, you know, what's so funny is that he started off by talking about being so much less active in the winter. He's like, I know why I hate the cold. It just like makes me want to sleep and I'm so much more active in the summer.
Right.
And yep, totally. And it's, for me, it's not necessarily the cold. I mean, definitely that has a factor, but it also happens to be with that cold goes hand in hand with daylight savings, right?
Right.
So when it's dark or cloudy or I'm just like, ugh, no motivation to like go outside and do things. And then I feel guilty and then I try and do it anyway. And then I'm like, ugh, it's cold and dark. And
well, and don't forget about SAD, SAD, seasonal affect disorder.
I definitely have that.
I remember learning about that and hearing that's why you hear of like London being dreary because it's overcast and rainy all the time and LA being bright and cheery and it's sunny all the time. And it's where the sun and the weather really can affect your mood.
It definitely does for me. And Drew was talking about that and then started talking about how his bestie is leaving for January. And then he was like, oh shit, what now? So
yep.
Not only does he have the combination of lack of internal motivation, right, because of the weather and the cold and then just sort of life and then his besties leaving and sort of like his partner in crime. And so now what's he going to do?
Right. what we kind of hit on too, and I was building to it, we started talking about it's okay to recognize that's just being a little depressed.
Yep.
It doesn't have to mean you're in a depression or in a depressive episode and pulling the covers over your head every morning and staying home and smoking weed and watching TV and not being productive, even though that's part of what he's doing.
Right.
It's just kind of recognizing, yeah, I'm just a little down.
Yeah.
You can be a little down. That can happen. And why I was highlighting that is because what we were eventually building towards is he's kind of regrouping.
You know what? You can't just skip ahead to all this. This is linear. Like, you can't just, you know what?
All right. I'll shut up.
Back it up. You drive. Okay. Yeah. So he talked about going to church and with a friend, and the friend asked why he sat alone. And he said, well, he wants to be around people, but he's not really ready to connect or like talk to them. And you pointed out how he wants to be left alone, but not alone or lonely. And there's a difference between lonely and alone. And
right.
It's so true. I think a lot of people think that if they're alone, that they're lonely. We can be surrounded by a million people and still feel lonely.
Totally. And you and I have talked about this personally and on the podcast before, that they're not the same thing at all. They're very different. I think originally you challenged me on that. I was like, no, you can, like you just said, you can feel lonely with a million people around you.
Right.
When you're not alone. And you can be alone and still feel wonderful. Like, here's one. I don't know, listeners, where you are on this one, but nobody is on this one these days. Going to see a movie by yourself. I know a lot of people who do that.
Yeah.
And for them, they're like, yeah, there's no problem. I mean, when you're in a movie, you're watching the movie. You're not with the other person anyway. But for me, seeing a movie has always been a social thing. I go with people.
Yeah. Okay. So he compared earning trust to trusting someone instantly. Earning the trust as opposed to trusting someone instantly, and then they have to do something to lose your trust. And what I loved is that he immediately jumped to, I want to find something in the middle, which I thought was great. You know, I'm right. All about the middle path. Like, he didn't say, I want to be that person where you have to earn the trust or you don't get it at all. You know, he just said, I want to find that middle path, which I think is very telling. And
yeah,
started talking about those circles, which I loved. I was like, whoa, dude.
Yeah. And that's even kind of talking about the Venn diagram of it, like the overlapping circles and looking for that spot or looking for who's in my close circle. And it cracked me up because I instantly thought of that. I really do think it was the T-Mobile commercial. Like, who's in your top five, you know, which he recognized. Was
totally.
Awesome, right.
Yeah. And now, by the way, I mean, it's not the top five, but on the updates on your iPhone, the texting, you can pin like the top people or whatever. And
oh, really?
I did that before you were in them. And then I just forget to look at the top and it got really confusing. So I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
I mean, that's, they do that with a lot of places and products will do that in terms of favorites or your top or your most interacted with.
Right.
And it's funny to me because things like Facebook, Instagram, they're built on who are you most interacting with.
Right.
And a lot of people just think quantity, not quality. They're like, how many followers do you have? How many likes did you get?
Yeah.
Right. But how many of those people are in your inner circle that really matter to you?
Totally. You guys talked about that. So he said the first circle is like your one bestie, basically. And then the second circle, it sounded like we're like really good friends. And the third circle to me sort of sounded like acquaintances, and sounded like he was kind of trying to figure out those second and third. And I was thinking about it in high school. My third circle was gigantic, right? I mean, my second and third, it's like you have so many friends and you go to parties and you whatever. And then over time, it just whittles down. And those acquaintances that I have, not only are they, if it wasn't for social media, they'd be non-existent, right? Like those
sure.
Facebook friends of people you knew in like third grade and have never seen since or whatever.
Well, I think a lot of that in school is based on what are like your shared activities. Some of the circles, like the Venn diagram overlaps, would happen in different ways. Like, you know, for me, it was one of the overlaps were athletes because I played sports. Another overlap were people that were into like I would say cool music, but it was just the music we were into, whatever it was, whether it was hip hop or like alt rock, you know, whatever that might've been.
Right.
And then there's the overlap of like, who are the stoner kids and the overlap of who are the nerds and the overachievers. And depending on who you overlapped with, there were a lot of different, I guess, overlapping circles, right? As we get older, we're not really grouped necessarily by those activities, especially if we're not doing as many activities.
Right.
And that's why I think as we got older, we saw this with a lot of our friends. They start having kids. And one of the biggest overlap is new parents.
Right.
Because they start doing a lot for their kids and they meet a lot of new parents and that's who their overlap is. And they sort of fade away from other circles and overlaps that they used to be in.
Yeah. And for me, Drew started talking about, which was like just so hit home for me. I don't know if it did for anyone else, but he wants to find people that are like him in the way that he talked about it, someone who's perfect for both of his halves, which were the quiet and the loud halves, and the busy go, 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 and also liking the downtime by himself, going to museums by himself. And I can so relate. I've always had sort of a hard time with trying to find people, mostly guys, I'm not going to lie, people to date that that are sort of both, that can connect with me on the level of being my age and also responsible and maybe like set in a career or whatever, and be it a professional career, some type of, I mean, quote unquote professional, but also not in a suit all day. I mean, you can be in a suit all day, but like, just not like stuffy, and somebody that still like is going to appreciate me when I'm 65 listening to hip hop all touted.
And that's the key though, is somebody that appreciates that, because they don't necessarily need to listen to hip hop.
Totally.
But they need to appreciate that you do. And that's what we were talking about when we said, you have all these different gears, like I was saying, the different groups that you're in because of shared activities in high school or whenever that was. And they might not be everything, especially for Drew.
Of course.
Where he's found that most profoundly has been in a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right? So a partner for him. And I was just highlighting, like, that partner doesn't have to be everything for you. They don't have to overlap with all of your circles. That goes back to when he and I would talk about, you don't want a carbon copy of yourself. He goes, nah, that'd be boring. But you do want somebody that can appreciate these different gears. And that's when I said to him, like, look, you don't necessarily need a partner that will go to church with you. You do need somebody that will appreciate that you like to go to church.
Totally.
So somebody that can be like, hey, you haven't been in a while. Why don't you go hit church today? And,
right.
And I'll do whatever. And I'll see you later this afternoon.
Yeah, 100%.
And his response, which I figure you'd like, was like, oh, that sounds gangster.
Oh my God. Yep. And then you said like, well, maybe you need a gangster chick. And in my mind, I was like, I'm a gangster chick. Pick me. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, he, and your analogies, of course, I love them, but the gears and people going both speeds, loud and quiet, fast and slow. And then of course you threw in neutral, reverse, park, and I was like, fuck, that is genius. So genius. And he just like lit up. He was like, and then you're like, sometimes you need to go in reverse or just stop or neutral. And it was so poignant. I just loved it.
Thank you. Yeah. He took to that analogy before, which is why I bring it back up. And it's sort of like, oh man, I'm just going to milk these, but it's how we remember them. And if he's remembering them this way, awesome. Because what it's highlighting is you have all these different gears.
Right.
And when you're able to be in any of these gears and have it be okay, because you're okay, even if it's not okay with others, like that's great. They can recognize that you have these gears. When you stop using a certain gear because somebody doesn't like it or doesn't gel with it or doesn't appreciate it, now you're compromising yourself. And it's like totally. Driving around in a car that has no reverse. Oh my gosh, I just remembered. I think in high school, there was a friend of ours who had a car that his car would not go into reverse. He could not back up, which I was just like, it baffled me. Like, how do you not go? He was like, well, I go neutral. I do this, or I just, you know, go around the block. I'm like, that's crazy.
That is amazing. Of course.
Right. And it blows us away. Like a car without reverse doesn't work. Well, if reverse is one of your metaphoric gears.
Right.
Not literally, Meredith.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate right. that. Yes.
Then if you don't use reverse in a relationship. It's just like a car that doesn't use reverse. You can do it, but it's so inconvenient.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really difficult after a while. And then you're going to resent it after a while.
Right. And I definitely have, I'm a very similar with him, like go, go, go. And then I need my chill and alone time. And I think the people that I connect with that are go, 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 don't always then have that downtime. And, you know, I've been told a lot, like, chill, like you need to learn to relax. And I get right. that. Sure. You tell me that too sometimes. But he was saying, trying to find someone that is similar. And like you said, it's just about appreciation. I often think I want a carbon copy of myself until I realize, hell no.
Right.
That would be so overwhelming. Are you kidding me? What I want is someone that can appreciate it and is not so, so different that we don't have commonalities, that we don't have a middle ground.
Right. You need that. I mean, that's why I think the love languages is kind of cool sometimes.
Yeah.
Like looking at what's our language, how do we communicate? And that's where for you, I remember, I think it was just yesterday, like, wow, I love that you're being kind to yourself and taking things off your plate.
Yeah.
Slowing down for you. Like I will highlight when you do that for yourself, because you don't do that very often.
Yeah.
Unless it's a shutdown and you're forced to.
100%.
But giving yourself those moments and having people around you
right.
that can recognize that in you, that know your different gears and they can look out for them. I think that's such a key thing in a relationship.
Yeah. And the other thing that was kind of cool was that he was saying that he's starting to connect with people or be around people, but it wasn't the people he envisioned. And I kind of thought that was interesting because it isn't always. And I find that as we get older, we connect with people not because we're just in school with them or in college with them or working with them. We connect with people who we meet and don't think we have a lot in common with them or whatever, but we end up connecting in a certain way. And you're like, oh, I would have never hung out with this person, but for this.
It's interesting too, because he was talking about, I think he got it when I was looking at, you have different people for your different gears and you can connect with a lot of different people. It's like the jack of all trades, right?
Right.
And he kind of did the version of saying, right, but I've mastered none, meaning you're giving so much of yourself to all these different groups and you don't really give the totality of yourself. You're never really full. Everybody yeah. just gets these pieces because we have this overlap here. So they get this piece and that over there gets that piece. But where can you be all of yourself?
Yes, which I think is really important.
Yeah, and that really is where we started driving home, being able to find your own identity and find yeah. who you are, rather than, well, I'm these seven identities because those are the seven different groups and circles that I can hang out with.
Right.
Right? It's how do we integrate that and realize what's you?
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this before, about sort of the chameleon versus like relating to a bunch of different people. And for me,
right.
it's taken time, but I am 99.9% always myself, maybe even to a fault, but like, don't get me wrong. I'm going to speak differently with my best friend than I am with like a 4-year-old or some like grandparents. Like we're going to talk about different things. We're going to connect on different things, relate about different things. That doesn't mean that I suddenly turn into something I'm not when I'm around other people. Yeah.
Right. And that's, you know, in my experience in high school of having class with the nerds, of which I was one, and hanging out after school with the jocks because we played sports, eating lunch with the stoners and the musician. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like I was one and had to disregard the other completely. It was I can walk in all of those circles because all of those combined make up me.
Yeah.
So you can have these different facets and they come out at different times, as long as it's not at the exclusion of something that's a part of yourself that goes away. Like, for example, with Drew, not going to church because who he's with isn't a churchgoer.
Right. Yeah, completely. And then I think he started talking about his sort of connected to those circles and the friends and trying to find people, but that he was having sort of a hard time motivating right now. And I loved you brought up how that's okay. And we can get some external motivation from friends and having other people around. And that's completely fine. Your whole life to depend on external motivation is going to be rough. But when you're in a place and you're like, I don't feel like doing this. If I'm going hiking and I want to hike, but I just can't really motivate, having someone else to go with me and motivate me, it's totally fine.
Totally.
But yes, so he talked about his gears and some of them being rusty and, well, what gear am I in now and where can I connect with that gear? And I loved, he said, well, when one group gets to be like, man, I can just jump ship to the other groups. And you said, well, can I use both gears or multiple gears on the same track? It doesn't have to be jumping from one to the other per se, but then you talked about hating. What was it? NASCAR? No.
Right. Totally. I mean, we're talking about, in part, the gears of NASCAR, and NASCAR is actually the biggest spectator sport in America, which blows me away.
I had no idea.
Because all it is, and oh my gosh, if listeners are into NASCAR, I apologize, but all it is driving in a circle on a track. I'm like, really?
You don't shift gears at all?
Oh no, gears, they absolutely shift. They totally shift gears. Yes. They shift gears all the time. It's huge. I mean, driving is really, really tough. But they're going around a track, and they're going around a track continuously to the left. They're going in a circle. That's why I was like, yeah, make a right turn, asshole.
They can't. Oh my God.
If you Google it, I think people even have said, like, can NASCAR cars turn right? And yes, of course they can. But the track is just a left-hand circle.
Why?
That's not how it goes. Maybe it's because the driver's positioned on the left, so you can see better that way.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, that's actually a pretty good idea, right?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, totally makes sense.
But for him, I mean, I knew he would appreciate it, and he totally did. I was like, well, if he doesn't know NASCAR, he won't get this. And he laughed because it's like, right.
So true.
They've got one gear, and one gear meaning they're going in a left-hand circle the whole time.
And I think, one of the last things he said, you can always make a buck, but you can't always make a friend.
Right.
And of course, both are true. But that idea of really focusing on your career or work and then sort of to the exclusion of connecting with people. I mean, I think that's very real. I think the other way is true too. A lot of people just focus on people hanging out, being social, and then not being financially stable or not having a career, which is fine, you know, to each his own. But I think trying to find that balance is important.
Yeah. And that's something that for him, he often will separate career and friendships, and he will also overlap them and go into business with friends.
Right.
So it's recognizing they can be two different gears. And I really love planting these seeds for him because he can start looking at his different gears and where the different circles are now. As at the core, he's really building his own identity, and he's coming to what's important to me. You know, I want these different gears. I even said towards the end, like, the people that don't necessarily share your gears can acknowledge that you have them. And you could be like, and I've said this in a past episode too, like, yeah, okay, guys, I'll see you later. I'm going to go to church. And then go, oh, okay, cool. Have fun. And they recognize that gear for him. They don't have to go with him.
Right.
Oh, I remember going to a midnight mass in Georgia for Christmas Eve, Christmas.
Oh, that kind of sounds fun.
Amazing. Yeah. My mom grew up in Georgia, so we flew out to Georgia for Christmas. And, you know, being the good Jewish family, we fly on Christmas Eve. Like, why not?
Absolutely.
And we landed, and the people we were staying with, you know, my mom's good friends, were like, oh yeah, we're going to midnight mass. I'm like, sure, it's 3 hours earlier for us. Why not?
Yeah.
And I was a kid, but it was really, I think, pretty powerful to be there and just feel the energy of a midnight mass on Christmas Eve. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, super cool. And I think that's what Drew was saying. He wants the energy of being around the people in church, not necessarily talking to them or forming relationships yet, but just getting that energy.
Right. They don't have to be your Venn diagram overlap of that inner circle. They can just be, oh, this gear over here that I tap into every now and then, which is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So keep tapping into Drew, keep tapping into us. We will be back with you talking about more stuff next week. Me and my gangster chick over here.
Lots more stuff. Yeah.
I love that you love that. I'm going to start calling you that. My gangster bae. You know what I just found out? That bae, like when people say, oh, he's my bae. B-A-E.
Yeah.
Do you know what it actually stands for something?
Oh.
Did you know that?
No, hell no. Trying to think of what it stands for.
Before anyone else.
Holy shit.
Right? you're my bae. You're before anyone else. You come before anyone else. You are my one. You are my primary.
Oh my God.
I always just thought it was like short for baby.
Yeah. Like bae, boo.
What's up, bae?
Oh my God. Oh, that means that Beckett's your bae and he's waiting at the door. I can see him.
Oh, is he? Oh yeah. He needs to go out and chase some turkeys.
Duh. So, okay, well go do that, Beckett.
Yep. We'll be chasing turkeys. I won't, he will. And we will, be with you next week for another episode and another session. Take care, guys.
Bye.